Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions Podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the Paint Assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Hey there, podcasters. What if I told you that there was a product out there that would knock out multiple detailing products? Not only is it the ultimate time and money saver, but produces amazing results and is versatile on almost every substrate. It can also be used in your home or commercial businesses. Gen.K.O. is an all-around multi-cleaner capable of removing light to moderate water spots, grease, and grime. It's safe on surfaces including windows, paint, mat, PPF and vinyl, rubber moldings, plastic trim, door jams, and coated surfaces. My name is Jennifer Turcotte, and after 22 years in the detailing industry, I am so proud to have a product that is helping my fellow detailers and everybody else around the world. I've tested Gen.K.O. for more than 2 years before the final RTU ready-to-use product was produced. I am beyond happy when detailers reach out and tell me how much Gen.K.O. has helped them, and it can help you too. Just go to www.iglcoatingsusa.com or reach out to your local IGL installer and pick up your bottle today. Don't forget to share your experience on social media using the hashtag GenKOMix.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex. I'll be your host, along with my boy Jason Bruno. This is another edition of What's On Your Mind. I have no fucking clue what we're talking about. This is Bruno's idea.
Oh, yo, Alex dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, so...
He's like this if I was getting pulled anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So Bruno, before we introduce our guest...
I'm pretty sure everybody knows his loud mouth just opened up.
Yeah, I know, but still, we'll give him a chance. What's the episode about? This was your idea.
So I wanted to talk about the bad and the ugly side of business. Everybody likes to talk about, oh, the good this, good that, look at this, look at that, fancy this, fancy that. But, you know, they don't want to talk about the road it took to get there. And some of the roads that people take, you know, they have a lot of speed bumps. And, you know, a lot of people don't share that side of how they got to where they are, because I honestly don't know why. And I feel if people shared that, it could, you know, help somebody, or, right, you know, give somebody some type of a motivation. Like, if this guy can come from this bad situation and make it to where he's at now, then, you know, pretty much anybody can do it.
All right. Well, I mean, everybody wants to have that detailer clout, right? They don't want to look like they ever struggled. They want to look like they just
exactly
popped out of the detail womb, super famous and,
yep,
busy and awesome.
That's exactly what happened to me. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and on that cue, let's find out who our guest is for this week. Again, if you don't know, Mr. Trap, introduce yourself to everybody. You've only been on the show like 3 or 4 times now. So,
my name's Steven Trap. I own Blue Star Auto Salon in Everett, Washington, and I've been asked to come back on this podcast. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to figure out when how many times we can do this until Google flags it and says this is not for people.
I think you and Billy are going neck and neck for most
appearances.
Yeah.
This is like my fourth time.
Yeah, and I will say, I will say, you know, like we kind of joke, like, you know, that everybody should know Trap. He's been on here enough and things like that. But I'll just give you guys a little information. So the number is 283. And what that means is that is the number of distinct devices determined by an IP address that downloaded or streamed this podcast or my podcast, our podcast, in the past week. So
my bot farm's working?
So there's, I mean, your bot farm's working, or we've got a lot of new people that jump on. I mean, that's a 283, you know, in 1 week. So that's why I guess we need to introduce ourselves sometimes.
We need to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know. I mean, when I launched the Detailers podcast with great success, one episode strong, shout out to the Detailers podcast.
It's not even streamed yet.
It was voted on the best podcast for detailing by my mom. So if we can get Alex's podcast up to that level.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love to be voted best podcast by your mom.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you guys can do it. You guys can do it. All you got to do is get into your local town paper and pay them money, and they send you an award like they do with the best detailers of the county or some shit.
Yeah.
Is that what we have to do?
Yeah, dude. Oh, you just pay the county and they give you a fucking award.
Yeah, but it's like super expensive.
Is it?
I could go out to the trophy place and make a plaque for like.
All you need to do is put a banner up in front of your shop and say that you're number one.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's just like going to college or graduating high school. Did you really? Who's to say?
You have a piece just of paper? Like, hang on. Segue. It's just like being a successful detail business. Do we really know? I mean, if it's on Facebook, it must be real, right?
Absolutely. According to internet fame, you are very successful. If you can get at least 7 likes and 4 ha-has in a Facebook post. Nice. That is a standard in which you should operate all of your posts and marketing. So,
What level does your fame go up when you get a belt for a Facebook group?
So the clout level's through the roof currently. There's a lot of people who want to be me or trying to be me.
Yeah.
But unfortunately are lacking the structure that holds their pants up in the form of a belt.
Oh, shit.
All right, Bruno, before we just become a train wreck of an episode, what you got? Let's go with your bad.
We're gonna start off with my bad.
No. I mean, listen, this is your episode, man. This is your deal. I've got nothing on it, so you're gonna have
to. Yes, you do. You can talk about the bad.
I will, but you need to be the guy throwing out.
I'm fairly new with my shop, so I mean, I basically fell into a good situation where I partnered up with somebody, you know, so. My bad experiences wasn't a road to get to where I was. It's a little different. It's like just dealing with, you know, employees trying to hire somebody, and shit like that. So I don't really want to hop on like my bad experiences as a business owner or anything like that, because it's a lot different compared to somebody else. And I'll use this as an example. Like, I have a Purple Heart. And I don't really talk about that because it's not fair to people who have passed away or who have truly been injured, lost limbs and stuff like that, who have Purple Hearts. So it's kind of like the same thing. I don't want to talk about my experiences because nobody could benefit from it.
But that's not true. So in your partnership with the business, from what I understand, is you deal with most of the day-to-day type things, and your partner deals with a lot of the back end, right?
Right.
So even though you're in a partnership and it might be different than a lot of people, you can still give that advice or that experience of what has happened to you, just like what you said with like hiring or like, you know, whatever, that somebody else is going to be able to take and be able to learn from it.
Well, I guess like if I start talking about that, it's just going to sound like I'm just bitching about employees not showing up and calling out for stupid reasons.
But listen, here's the reality of it, right? Like, you're not the only one. Like, I see all the time Facebook posts where, you know, most of our friends are looking to hire somebody and they just can't get anybody, you know, or they have people that come in for interviews, you know, and they hire them and tell them to show up the next day and then they never show up. So
right.
You know, I don't necessarily think that it'd be you bitching about it, but again, I think that people are experiencing it across the board and can sympathize and relate to it.
It's pretty common right now. It was already common for people to interview, waste your time, not show up. That's standard being in business. It's always going to happen, right? They always say like slow to hire, quick to fire type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, right now is a labor market which heavily leans towards, you know, your employees they're not incentivized.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to look at how you're structuring things and what the shop culture is, which is huge. We've always had issues with, you know, people hiring, but right now it's like my last two employees just showed up and started working. Right. Because of the culture that we're cultivating here at my shop.
Right.
I'm investing less and worried about profit margins right now and more in retention of my employees to make sure that they're taken care of and they also have, you know, their needs met.
Right.
Right. And I'm looking at it in terms of, you know, in talent, right? So does somebody who have experience worth more than somebody who doesn't have experience? Well, somebody who has experience is going to know what the trenches are. Right. Somebody without experience, you can explain it. And then you have a Nissan Leaf pull up with 7 heroin needles and 1,000 nitrous oxide canisters in the back of it. And they're like, what the fuck is this? I was like, he was a clown, I think. I don't know. So there's understanding with your employees, also figuring out, you know, obviously you can't ask somebody to ever work as hard as you. And how can you tailor the job positions to what fits a person's personality and work structure the best.
Right.
And since I've been working on this new formula and really trying to figure out and dial in the actual culture behind like how I have, you know, my shop set up, my employees and, you know, what our individual tasks are and creating more of like a team-based employment system, that it's been very eye-opening, like how hard people will work when you give them the resources and you put them in the right place.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people are just looking for an extra body. And that's where they end up with an employee that doesn't show up or doesn't want to work or doesn't want to do all these other things because that's just a body.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't want a body. One of my employee right now, one of them, he's working on getting his own mobile business set up. I'm like, okay. Like, let's do it. It's not only is it an investment opportunity for me, right?
Yeah.
To help somebody else, you know, next man up situation, but it's also for me to cultivate existing talent and make it better, right?
Right.
In my shop format.
Yeah.
Which is huge. And a lot of people be like, well, why'd you hire somebody who's working on his own business? I was like, first of all, his side business has does not affect my business at all.
Right.
Right. We're on different strungs of the ladder right now. Right. And when he gets to where I'm at, right, I'm going to be farther up the ladder.
Exactly.
But I've also had an opportunity to invest in another young man's, you know, business and career. And that's, and he's always going to be somebody I can call when I need help.
And that's awesome because I think that's one thing that I hear from a lot of people in this industry that try to teach that or train that.
Detailers, let me tell you why Slick is the perfect silica spray. Slick has made protecting your car easier than ever before. The amount of depth and gloss that is left behind after using Slick will leave everyone speechless. What is the biggest complaint about silica sprays? It's the streaking and smearing left behind for you to deal with on your car's paint, taking away from the gloss and shine. Slick is the first completely streak-free silica spray on the market, which provides the greatest user experience available. Some of Slick's benefits are the UV inhibitors to add to UV protection, high-quality silica, allowing Slick to work well with ceramic coatings, waxes, and sealants. It can be used as a drying aid, maintenance for coatings, on windows, rims, and it's safe on trim. And no streaking leads to a safer application, because the more streaks, the more you have to wipe, and we all know the more you touch a car, the more damage you incur. So go to the Detail Supply app and pick up some Slick today. And remember, use the code DETAIL15 at checkout to save 15% off your purchases. That's DETAIL15 because you are a Detail Solutions podcast listener, and save 15% off your purchases.
Detailers don't want to give away their secrets. They don't want to help their competition. They're too afraid of, you know, whatever.
I hate when people say the detail industry and their fucking secrets. Like,
well,
dude,
you know,
cleaning car is not fucking hard.
No, I understand.
First of all, how dare you discredit the Hidden Valley secret?
Yeah,
the hidden yeah. secret.
But what I'm just trying to get to is, you know, one of the things that they always say is, you know, you should always train your replacement. And mm-hmm. when I was running the car washes, I mean, my assistant manager kind of hated me because I made him do everything. But I wanted him to know how to do everything that I did, so that if I wasn't there, I didn't have to worry about, like, am I going to get a phone call from the owner or whatever, like the place is, you know, going up in flames, kind of deal. So I made him do everything, you know, and it turned out awesome for him. I mean, he ended up leaving the car wash. He had that education and that training on how to run that he went and got himself a job with Valvoline, and now he's like a regional manager of, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 locations or some craziness like that, and making stupid crazy money.
Well, like, that's a good example. Like, in the military, like, from private all the way up to staff sergeant, right?
Yeah,
everybody knows everybody's job, because if one goes down, the other one's got to pick it up. And it's kind of like a grooming process. You know, you're grooming, exactly. as a staff sergeant, you're grooming your private to rank up and, you know, become a leader or that staff sergeant, so to speak. Yeah. So I'm a strong believer that everybody should know everybody's job.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, like, I hired a tint and PPF person. I got an interior detail. I got a corrections and coding person. And guess what? When my detailer's not busy, they're going to be learning tint. When my correction guy's not busy, he's going to be learning PPF.
Right.
So we all have our own departments, right? But what can happen is, if one starts to lag behind, somebody can hop over, help out really quick, get that back on schedule. Because at the end of the day, like, we're all going to share in the profits together.
Right. And again, what you're trying to do is, you're trying to get those guys to do the work, you're trying to train them to do the work like you would do it, so now you can really kind of step back and focus on what you need to do, which is running a business, and let them kind of, you know, handle the workload.
Yeah, I did a training event over the weekend. Talking about how, like, the you know, your secretary and your customer service, your accountant and your bookkeeping, and then your management and your cars and your marketing is all the job that you have to do, and the detailing and all your other work is a byproduct of that. Right. But a lot of times people get hung up in the byproduct part, where they're like, okay, well, I got seven jobs lined up, so I got to do seven jobs. But then they hit that seventh car and they're like, fuck, I don't have an eighth.
Yeah.
Right. So then they're back to square one with their marketing and they've lost all their momentum. Right. Instead of really trying to like look at everything as a business aspect of how you can take the resources that you have and invest your money properly. And that's when I made a post. It was like, don't buy dumb shit.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was like a selling
point. And then you immediately posted pictures of your Pokemon cards.
Those are investments.
Yeah.
we call those passive income. So like you have your ability to reinvest into your people.
Right.
Right. And then I can pay my guys more. Well, word gets out that my guys only work Monday through Friday. They're making, you know, $20+ an hour, and they share in a 10% bonus at the end of the month of the profits. That's pretty enticing, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what do you have to do to work it? I was like, to work there. It's like, you got to show up on time and do a good job. Like I said, like, I don't care what you do. Like, and it's, I'm personally trying to figure out how to implement a 3.5-day work week.
Yep. I remember you talked about that the other day.
So it's like, it's a slow process, but right. Doing that is going to allow my guys to work, you know, 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day, get their 40 hours a weekend, maintain their same salary, increase their time off, and increase their, you know, how you say it, like their
productivity.
It's like increase their quality of life.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're not slaving away.
They're spending more time away than they are there.
Yeah. And then I have two crews running 7 days a week. So the quality of my shop's going up because I'm open more hours. So I'm actually making more money. My employees are happier, right? Because they have more time off and they're more relaxed. So they're going to be more productive for those three and a half days. Right. Yeah. And I'm curious to see how that actually translates into, you know, higher profit margins for the company. Cause it means, you know, if you can figure out your way to make your, you know, $100,000 a month, well, like, how do you like break that down into little ass pieces?
Right. Yeah.
And that's just figuring out how each person can, you know, make that $800 or $900 a day that person needs to make to cover their labor costs and the profit margins that you want to have.
No, you're so, right. And I want to ask one other question while we're talking about hiring and employees and everything before I've got another question to move on to. So, you mentioned earlier about incentives, you know, for working and things like that. That's another thing that I've noticed, you know, in these Facebook posts and everything is now businesses, and especially small businesses, are almost having to, you know, offer signing bonuses or show up on, you know, first day, you know, bonus incentives. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, should we as small businesses offer those types of things to get people to show up on the first day? And then like, what happens if they don't show up the second day? Now you just gave this
guy to each his own on that one. And that's what I would go to. That's where my mind goes to automatically.
I personally, I don't do signing bonuses because it's like, why?
Yeah.
The thing is like when I interview somebody, right, or I get somebody's application or their resume and stuff, like, I don't even care if they have any experience. I talk to them like, are you going to fit within the culture that I have here?
Right.
Right. So just like there's a labor market and a labor shortage out there. If you're creating value past $1,000, right. So it's like, oh, you get $1,000 signing bonus. Well, you're going to make probably more than $1,000 a month and just bonuses just by showing up to work. Right.
Yeah.
But do I want to invest the time in you? And are you worth investing the time in? Because are you willing to do what I want you to do, which isn't much, but are you going to create positive work environment? Are you going to fit into the flow of things?
Right.
And having, like I said, the more time off, the Monday through Friday, you know, the hour long lunches that we offer and these kind of things, people look at that and they're like, wow, you do all that for your employees? Like, yeah, I buy them lunch all the time, or I'll take them out to eat periodically. Right. Because it's more of like a family aspect. And it's like when you take care of your employees in a sense of like they're a family member,
and they'll take more care
so
of you.
Than just they're going to show up and they're going to see that.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, in the interview process, when, you know, somebody walks in who's working, then that guy might ask them like, so what, you know, because people talk, right?
Right,
like,
right. So yeah, exactly.
What's it like to work here? It's like, well, I mean, You show up, you do your job, you work on cool shit, and you get paid a lot of money and you get your weekends off. That's why I'm a big, that's why I'm a huge, why people work Saturday, Sunday in the detailing industry is beyond me.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, oh, well, Saturday is your busiest day. I was like, people schedule their appointments.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is around you guys, but I do not get walk-ins ever.
I don't either. I mean, I get phone calls like, hey, do you have any time today? But you know, I don't actually have people show up. Of course, I'm kind of tucked away, hidden. I'm not on a front street, you know, where we're at in the little warehouse community. You're not just going to drive up and find me kind of deal. But I mean, I will say that I did Saturdays and Sundays in the beginning because, you know, I mean, I didn't really know when my next job was going to come. So, you know, hey, somebody was willing to book a Saturday for, you know, I'm not doing it for $50 washes or whatever, but if somebody was going to come in and do a $200, $300, $400, $500 job, something like that, I would go in and work Saturday. I would go in and work on a Sunday. Now for like the past, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years or so, I've really tried to step back from Saturdays and Sundays again, unless it's, you know, something big. I mean, I had a job a couple of Saturdays ago. It was a $600 hyper polish job. Michelle and Haley were going out school shopping or whatever. So it was like, hey, go in and make $600 for half a day or sit around and on the couch and do nothing for a full day.
Oh yeah. No. And that's totally fine. I do the same shit. Like,
no. And I get what you're saying. I, you know, just sometimes it's for me at least, there's sometimes I'd rather go in and make money than sit around and be a bum.
It's the same thing I do.
Cause again, I mean, I've talked about it before on the podcast is make hay while you can. Cause you never know. I mean, I might've turned down that Saturday job and then had nothing for the next week. Whereas that Saturday job could have, you know, covered me for a little bit. But that's
where it comes back to, like, you know, to each his own on what you do with your own business. Like, there's a lot of people out there that I see on social media who have their own business, and I see them asking questions like, what should I do with this? Or how should I approach this? Like, if you're asking those questions, you shouldn't have a business.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm going to be completely honest, dude. Like, seriously.
Not necessarily. Like, because again, when I started this business, I mean, yeah, I know how to run a car wash, but I didn't know how to run a detail shop. So I asked plenty of people, hey, what should I
mean?
I mean, I still ask people, what should I do with this? Or how should I do this?
Yeah. When you're first starting out, it's like, you're obviously not going to know things. But the thing is, like, when, it's like, take the whole like tinting and like film stuff that I've been doing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, yeah, we're going to do it, figure it out. And then I hired talent. Right. And then it's, when I say like why people work the weekends, it was like, you need to have time to actually do your secretary work, your accounting work, and your marketing work. And when you see, you know, booked out 3 or 4 weeks and people are still working the weekends, it's like, bro, take a day off and recharge your battery.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you have to do that. And I've worked 14-hour days, 14 days in a row. Like, I still do that periodically because we get busy. Like last week we had like 100, like my guy had like over 40 hours of overtime because we were turning a black truck purple.
Yeah.
And then we had to do a full body wrap on a Porsche Taycan. It was like back to back. And I was like, this is a bit much. So I was like, you know, let's take a little time. And I think when people are looking to hire, or when people are doing like the good, the bad, and the ugly, is they forget the fundamentals of why they started their company. And I've really stepped back from selling every job possible. Like in the last 3 months, my car count's actually down 40% than it was in the first. So like if I took January through April, and then May through now, because that April's when I closed my other shop and then started May full time at the new one. We're down 40% in cars. But our profit margins are up 160%.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. So, and we've had 3 back to back record months. So we did 55, 65, and then like 83.
Wow.
In the last 3 months. And it's,
I'll tell you what though. I mean, maybe it's kind of a thing because I'm having three record months too.
I strongly believe people are burning cash right now.
Yeah.
Dude, I just told Alex, literally, we're not even, we're halfway through the week. Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday?
Tuesday.
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was
Tuesday.
Like, oh, fuck, I got that Tesla to finish. I gotta make a white Tesla black by Thursday.
So it's not even the middle of the week yet. I thought it was Wednesday, dude. That makes me even more happy because I'm already over $6,000 in 2 days.
That's good.
It's nuts, man.
So I was holy shit. So now that makes me even happier.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so this ties into the ugly side of business is like, I really do feel like this winter is going to be probably one of the worst winters for a lot of detailers. Like, I think it's going to be a rough winter this year.
For the winter states, at least.
I don't know.
You're talking like economy wise.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
And when it comes down to just like, are people going to have money and what's inflation going to do?
Right.
Like, we're not in a sustainable place. And that's when it ties back to the don't buy dumb shit. Like right now is like, oh, I go buy a new Porsche. I'm killing it right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, how much money have you saved for when, like, if there's another rolling shutdown from the Delta variant and other shit like that? I don't know what Florida's going to do, but.
We ain't doing shit.
Washington, we tend to like lockdowns. We just got off lockdown. Like
I heard July. California is getting ready to or already gone back into another.
Yeah, they reinstated their mask.
DeSantis has been discussing the mask mandate going back.
I don't know. I think he's on the if you want to wear it. If you don't.
Well, yeah, he is that now.
Yeah.
But if he's been talking about bringing back the masks.
Has he? I didn't pay attention.
Unfortunately,
today I saw the bumbling fool on there saying, come on, man, just
I drove an 18 wheeler.
Florida, you got to do it. The people down in Florida just need to do it, or the people in charge need to get out of the way. And it's like, oh, dude.
First of all, how dare you talk about my grandpa like that?
Yeah, I know.
He's tired.
Yeah. It is what it is.
when you get into like this situation, and we're in such a weird time where you're going to see a lot of strange things happening with like businesses, and we're in uncharted territories here.
Yeah.
Like we are my prices are through the roof right now and people are just paying it.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think now's the time, especially with, you know, like you said, you're having some record months. I'm having record months. I'm sure a lot of people are. Now really is the time that, like they say, you know, you need to have that, you know, 3 or 4 months stashed away just in case. You know, I think that goes back to like what you're saying, Steven, about not buying dumb shit. You know, just because you're having these crazy months, don't go out and buy the brand new car or whatever. You know, you need to stash that money, because if the economy does take a turn or whatever, you know, coming towards the end of the year, the beginning of the year, you know, you need to have that savings, because what are people going to do? Especially new people starting out. If you're new and you don't have a clientele base built up yet, and now all of a sudden, you know, you don't have a lot coming in, and you blew all your money because you were.
Well, there were a lot of people struggling at the start of COVID. They were like, oh my God, like, I have to close for a whole month.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy. And there were a lot of people that were just like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Luckily, like a little bit of bailout came, but it was like, if that didn't happen, there'd be a lot of people who ended up closing their doors because they just over leveraged themselves.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, like you got to think you're going to have infinite growth, but you need to figure out where your baseline is and how you sustain that baseline.
Yeah.
And that ties back to just like the good and the bad. Like, this is my third shop location in 7 years. Like, I've had to move my company 3 times.
Right.
So like I had a big, nice building, got sold. Then I went to another shop, which was my old shop, which was a 2-car garage. So I downsized from 6,500 square feet to, you know, about 1,000 square feet. And I had to figure all that out. And then I was able to, you know, secure this lease. And then now I'm on my third shop and I really feel like we've got some forward momentum.
Right.
But even then, it's like, you know, people will say like, oh man, you're so successful. I want, you know, I want to get to where you are in business and your shop. And like, I'm like, bro, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, like, constantly.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I talk to people in the industry, and I talk to people in chemical companies. I talk to people in film companies, and they all say the same thing. It's just, don't give up on yourself, and it's going to get hard. And it goes, when it's really good right now, guess what comes next? The roller coaster drops.
Yeah.
And then there's like a loop de loop, and then there's another loop de loop, and the kid throws up. And then you're finally like, oh shit, we're back at the part that goes up. And then it stops for a little bit, and then it fucks you again. And then pretty much as long as you can just continue the trend.
As long as you keep riding the waves, you're fine. And you're right. You know, I remember, when I first left the wash, I mean, thankfully I had the used car dealership to kind of fall back on, and they were good money. But when I finally couldn't take them anymore and fired them, and moved to where I'm at now, I mean, I was literally starting over. And I mean, there were times when, you know, Michelle and I would have these great big fights because, you know, I wasn't doing a lot. And the one thing that kind of helped was, you know, her talking to my cousin, who, her and her husband own Polished Image Detailing, up there by you. So
that's a nice place.
Yeah. So
those guys are killing it.
Yeah. But, you know, in the beginning they weren't, it was a struggle. And my cousin Evie was telling Michelle, like, you know, it took a good 3 or 4 years before Brian finally got that shop to a point to where, like, okay, now it's starting to, you know, like, there's a little bit of like, okay, like a little bit of weight off the shoulders kind of deal. And having that
savings helps.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's kind of the way it happened. I mean, once we got to like that 3 year mark, we had built up enough clientele in 3 years. We built up enough repeat business. Our name was starting to get out there, that now we were starting, like, we could definitely see big jumps in our numbers from month to month to year. So yeah, I mean, when you're starting out, it's definitely going to be a roller coaster. But if you are serious about it and you just hang on for dear life and you can make it work, you know, you should be able to get to that point where it's a little bit easier. And that's kind of another thing I wanted to ask is, so when you guys started, Jason, I know you're kind of new, so maybe more on trap. What were some of the, you know, pitfalls or some of the, you know, days when you didn't know what the hell you were going to do? I mean, what were some of the things that happened, you know, that maybe somebody listening to this can, you know, take a little solace in that it's happening to them and they'll be able to get past it?
So I think the one thing that comes to mind is, like, probably the most major shakeup that I ever had was when I got 15 days notice that I needed to move out of my shop. Wow. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'd spent, you know, 3.5 years building this location. And they were like, you got to get out. I was like, okay. So, you know, real estate's hard to come by around here.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a bunch of, you know, things that you're trying to look for in shop space, clientele, you know, retention, all these kind of things. And I couldn't find anything. You know, 15 days, I moved everything into 2 storage units, where everything is still sitting to this day.
Oh, wow.
And that's 2 shops later, because I have nowhere to put it, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know, I'm going to have another shop and I'll put that shit in there. No, I won't. I got to be real with myself. I'm not, that shit is, I'm going to be paying that $450 for that 2 storage units forever. And you know what? I probably should probably get rid of it, but but you think about it and it's like, okay, so I had a big shop, big ego. It was the most humbling thing on the planet, because I had literally lost everything, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I can't get a real job because I'm kind of a worthless employee. So how can I keep my shop going? I was like, how do I save the company that I tried so hard to build in the first 3.5 years? And I was like, well, I mean, what do I have? So I went to Costco. I bought a pop tent, a Seahawks pop tent, which is meant I was going to win, because, you know, we're a winning team. And
Interception on the 1 yard line.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you, you know, decided to bring failure into this equation. But you know, when you got to get back up, right? After you decide to, you know, stiff the, you know, the champion running back. But anyway, so I was like, I messaged my mom and I was like, can I use your driveway? And I was like, and I just started detailing out of my parents' driveway. So I called all, and my calendar was booked out like 2.5 weeks. No, 2.5 months. Sorry. And I was like 2.5 months booked out at my old shop with these bullshit $150 Groupon vouchers. And I was like, okay, so I need to figure out how to get people about 15 to 20 minutes north of that location to my parents' house where I can figure out how I can save enough money to try and like get a shop.
Right.
Because as I'm sitting there trying to build this whole thing, it's just falling out. It's like I'm throwing just water in a whole bucket with holes in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to fill this with sand or something. Right. So I decided to kept calling them. Dude, I had people just no. So many times I was getting so discouraged. And then I started messaging a couple of my local car clubs that I'd worked with before. And I was starting to pick up a couple of these, like, you know, wheel coatings here or ceramic coating here. And then everything. Okay. So I, you know, momentum, I had one point in my parents' front yard, I had like 7 sets of wheels just strewed across the grass. And my wife's out there with just wheel cleaner and like trying to like clean these shitty wheels in the grass. And I was like, I'm trying to coat them as fast as I can. It's hot. It's like, yeah, the sun's beaming down. I was like, nothing's working. And I was like, okay, so now I made a little bit of money. How can I make this easier? So I bought one of those picnic canopy things from Costco where you could pull a car into if you wanted, yeah, to. That was my coating studio. And I put like AstroTurf in there with some cardboard down. And I was like, well, this is real fucking fancy. Awful. It was hot. It was humid. It was so tacky. Right. And I was trying to work in there. And I was like, okay. And then I finally got a message from somebody who I was like, hey, you want to sublease part of my shop? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. And I said, yes. And that's one thing I've learned about like taking opportunities when you can, is some people will be like, I don't know. Just say yes.
Yeah.
Say yes. Worst case scenario is it doesn't work.
You're back in, right, your pants.
Nothing's right worked to this point anyway. So I'm just going to do it. So I had to fill in a big hole that I could cover with concrete to make my bay at my other shop. So I did that. I was on Craigslist and I was like, how can I was like, I need fill dirt. So I started messaging construction companies. I was like, you got a dump truck full of dirt I could have? And this one guy was like, yeah, I'll come dump some shit off for you. So I got a big ass load of dirt dumped in the parking lot of this place, went and rented some like little tiny backhoe, filled this thing in, concreted over it, threw up my curtain. I was like, I'm open for business. And I was able to do that with $1,500 because I had sold a $1,500 coating job like a few days prior to that. So I was able to secure the lease and rent the little backhoe and get some concrete bags. That was it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing from this point forward. And I reopened my shop and then it's just been slowly trying to grow since. And then, you know, when I was in that location, it was a sublease. You start to notice things going one way or another. And now that I've had that failed experience of the first shop, I'm hyper aware of like changes in like vibes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, come August of last year, I was like, you know what, maybe I should try and step out and get a bigger shop and turn it into something that I really want to continue the growth forward. Need better parking, need better lighting, need more shop space. And then I took the savings that I had, because, you know, obviously you need to have some sort of savings. And then I took my investment out of Tesla, because I bought 5 Tesla shares at like 180. And then wrote it up to like, it's split into 20 shares and then wrote it back up to 500. And I sold all of them and used that money to basically pay for a lot of the build out of my shop, because I had to pay 10 grand as a deposit to get this location.
Oh, wow.
Cause I didn't have a long enough tax history with my new LLC.
Gotcha.
Because, yeah, after I'd lost the shop 3.5 years ago, you know, they wanted, you know, 4 years of business taxes. And I'm just like, I only got like 2.5 from this new LLC. And I was like, so what if I just gave you more money as a deposit? And she's like, could you do 10 grand? I was like, sure. And I was like, do I have fucking 10 grand? I looked over at Michelle. I was like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like,
sure. I don't have 10 grand, but I got like 3 shiny Charizards. Would you take those?
Yeah. So after I did that, I was able to secure the lease, put the 10 grand down, do the build out. And then I invest heavily in Pokemon cards now, because that's, you know, that's where business is going. Right. But now it's like you look at what you're doing and the fundamentals of your business, and know that when things get slow or things start to fuck up, it's because you're too busy on the byproduct, which is the detailing, and you're not focusing on your customer service, your accounting, right, and your marketing. Right.
I think that goes to what Rennie always says, right? Is stop being a detailer and be an entrepreneur. You know, exactly. That's the problem, is we all get caught up in being detailers and forget about being business and how to grow the business and things like that. So
you need internet clout to make anything work.
That's true. So
that's why if you become TikTok famous, you don't even have to know how to detail. You just got to be TikTok famous. Or if you can sell pictures of your feet, that's also a great career path to get you into the detailing echelon, because anything you can do to market yourself, because again, most people get wrapped up in the detailing side of it, taking shiny pictures, you know, look at me, I'm the greatest detailer, I use all the greatest products and stuff. And it's like, bro, nobody fucking cares.
Yeah,
nobody cares what product you use, nobody cares what film you use. There's everybody's has good and bad experiences with every single product, right? So it's like, use what works in your ecosystem that's going to help create the most profitability and the easiest to train. So now it's like, when I bring in a new employee, right, I can spend a little bit of time and plug them into a system that I know works, right? It's yeah, a simple one-to-one equation,
right?
Instead of being like, okay, so like I have 90 different compounds and 90 different polishes and 60 different ceramic coatings, so this specific make, model, year, manufacture date Camaro, we're going to use X, Y, and Z products. Like, nobody fucking knows that, bro. Like, you got, it's like, use this, use this, use this, spend 2 hours on it, call it a day. Yeah. Right. It's like, that's kind of in, once people start realizing that you need to step back a little bit and zoom out of your business and see like where the flaws really are. And that's why I decided to change up the shop culture a lot, is because that's what I saw. One of the major flaws of my business was just how people were like, how I was reacting to things, and then also how my employees were reacting to things, and what I could do to make their lives better will make my life better.
Right.
Right. Right. And so that's why I decided to change things up a lot around here and really take on some bigger projects, and decide that my shop's going to be, when you buy a new car or you buy an existing car, we do everything. You just come drop it off, let us take care of it, we'll give it back to you when we're done.
Right.
Right. And now we've driven sales of, you know, a couple $100, $300, $400, $500 details to now we're $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 details.
Well, yeah, just because when you do that, you have more add-ons to offer when you're doing film and tent, and some shops are doing wheel repair, dent removal, brake caliper color change, you know, whatever, stereo systems. You're just adding more, you know, items that people can add on, driving that ticket up.
Because you're selling on value, not on price, right? So right, when somebody comes in and they're like, well, I want a full front paint protection film, I'm like, okay, well, you can package it with the ceramic and save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. Or it's like, hey, you come in for a car cleaning and it's like, hey, I notice your two front windows need to be tinted. You want us to do that for you? Most of the time, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like another thing, like paintless dent and stuff like that is also huge slept on, especially down in like this where you guys have all the hail, bro. Like, I would be a tornado chaser just doing paintless dent removal.
And there are
millions
removal guys that do that. They just, wherever they travel all over for that stuff. You're absolutely right.
Praying for Papa Elon to finally zap another cloud and make another tornado in Texas, right, to drop the property value, yeah, so we can buy up the land for the rocket ships.
Yeah. And you make a good point too, because I mean, that was one of the things that Fermani talked about in our, you know, $200 ceramic episode that he did, is, you know, and that's one of the things that a lot of the detailers are like, I'm not doing a wash of clay and a ceramic for $200. But for Monty's thing was about like getting them in, right? You get them in and you do this, you offer this cheaper service because again, 98% of the population doesn't see swirls or give a fuck about them. But then when they're there, that's when you upsell them. That's when you say, well, hey, your interior could be done, or hey, if you do want to polish it out, we could add it for this. So it goes along with exactly what like you're saying, Trap, is you get them in on one thing, or they're coming to you for one thing. And as long as you're have enough of variety, you can upsell them, you know, or get them in on a different package kind of deal. And that's what I've started to do. I mean, the PPF, I'm not pushing that fully yet because I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to get comfortable with it. But people that come in for ceramic coatings and they ask me like, hey, is this going to prevent rock chips? I tell them, well, no, but we do have PPF. If you would like to do PPF on the front end, even if it's just a partial, now we're starting to do the Steck Dynoflex window film. So that's another thing. It's a little bit harder down here because in Florida it's free windshield replacement through insurance. So, you know, most people aren't going to want to pay $400.
Yeah, but that's only a one-time deal.
No, it's not.
It's once a year.
No, it's not. We did three in like a calendar year time.
I got lied to.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you bought the Groupon insurance policy.
Probably. Probably.
They're like, you went through, was it USAA? We'll get you there.
How do you know about USAA?
Of course, I see the commercials.
Dude, come on. Everybody knows about that.
But I'm pretty sure there's a USAA next to the recruiting agency for the Navy.
But that should be the thing, right? I mean, like you need to be able to offer more services or be able to upsell. Even if you've got that one customer just coming in for, you know, a wash and a wax, you know, well, hey, I noticed that your interior, you know, is a little dirty. We could do, you know, you always want to upsell. And that's what's going to do what like Trap's doing, where you're increasing your sales and not necessarily having to increase your car count.
Yeah, we did a Subaru. We did like an 08 Subaru Forester. Lady came in for a $300 interior, and then she left with, I think her bill was like $1,100. You know, after we did tint removal, retint, polish, 1 year ceramic, and like an interior shampoo, and it was like that one car was turned into what three cars would be.
Yeah.
Right. And it only took an additional 1 or 2 hours.
Right.
Because most of it we were doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so when you look at it in terms of like, does it cost a lot to start adding on to these services? Absolutely. Does it cost a lot to have a good employee? Absolutely. But I mean, those things hail in comparison to just making sure that your employees are good. Because now I don't have to worry about it because I've trained my employees to be better detailers than I am.
Right.
Because I want them to be better than I am.
Right.
When you have somebody who is better than you in the position that you're hiring them for, they're going to excel in that position and they're going to provide better work. And it's going to relieve some of the stress you have because you know that they're going to do it as good or better.
Yeah.
Right. I don't need to be the best detailer in my shop. I'm not paying myself to be the best detailer. I'm paying my technician Skyler to be the best detailer. Right. I'm paying my technician Dakota to be the best window tinter, right? That's not my job. My job is to make sure that they're taken care of by providing them the work and driving the sales that pays their higher salaries.
Right. You need to be the best leader.
Exactly.
Let them be the best detailers. But what about the guys that are just starting out and they don't have employees? So now they've got to juggle this themselves. I mean,
they need to facilitate proper balance in their own life, starting first and foremost, because you have to keep yourself in check and you have to keep yourself balanced even when you're doing all of these things. Cause we all started out doing them all ourselves.
Right.
But then when you're doing it all yourself, what ends up happening is you become so thin across all these barriers and you start to show fractures, right? Yeah. And that trickles down into other parts of your being and your general quality of work, right? So you start taking on too much, you start, you know, stressing too much about bills, you start stressing too much about wife, the life at home, the kid, the parents, you know, like your baby's growing up, you're not seeing them because you're spending weeks on weeks on weeks trying to make this business work. And then it's slowly starting to degrade how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Because you're burning yourself out and you're not taking care of yourself and recharging yourself like you should, because you're so busy chasing dollars for time instead of figuring out how you're supposed to buy more time with your dollars.
Exactly.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Trap. How long were you in business before you started bringing on employees?
2 weeks.
Okay. Were you that busy, or were you just had the mindset that like, I'm going to start this with employees? Cause I mean, 2 weeks is basically starting a business with employees.
Yeah. So when I opened my first shop, I thought I was going to be a Glostradamus and just destroy the whole market.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to open this building. It's going to be Field of Dreams. I'm going to do 1,000 cars a month. I was like, it's going to be great. I opened the doors and I'd spent all this money building the shop out and no one came. Because I didn't market myself at all. I was just like, oh, I just made a Facebook page. That's good enough.
Yeah.
And, but no, so then I started selling discount vouchers to try and drive some sort of work. So I was selling Groupons. And then I was like, okay, so I'm starting to get calls, 1-2, Google page is up. You know, I got a sign outside. We're open for business. I'm sending, you know, messages to my friends and stuff like that, messaging people in car groups. I was just, you know, grinding it out.
Right, right.
And I was like, and then the cars would come in and I was like, I got to do these cars. And I was like, I'm still trying to grind it out. So it was that thing where I was like, I was had 7 cars, but I had no 8th car. So I'd have to do 7 cars, struggle to find 7 more cars. And I, you know, after doing that for like a week, I was like, this isn't working. So I messaged one of my buddies and I was like, hey, I got this idea. I was like, I want you to come work. And he was a fisherman on a fishing boat. And he goes, well, I don't want to go fishing again. I was like, all right, come on over. So I was like, I just need you to clean cars. And that was my first employee. And then after 2 weeks, I hired my second employee. Nice. And I was like, and I wasn't making any money. Like I was barely covering payroll. And I was like trying to float the rent as long as possible. But I knew that I couldn't, because I realized early in business, doing it yourself and thinking that you're going to do it all yourself as a main source of income with a shop, within a house, with all these other expenses, you're not going to do it. You have to scale the company and you have to scale to a point of comfortability. And you're going to have to step out of that comfort zone because you have to be able to make sure that you're able to get the work done that you're trying to find. Right. So, and I realized that really early when I was in business, because I was like, this isn't what it needs to be. This isn't working. Right. So you zoom out of your business and you're like, what isn't working? Why is this like this? And they're like, okay. So I zoomed out. It's like, I'm working too much on the cars and not on the business. So I need to put somebody in the cars to do the cars while I can work on the business and I can just oversee everything. And so when I didn't get trapped in that cyclical, make 7 cars, struggle 7 cars, make 7 cars, struggle 7 cars. It was 7, 8, 9, 10, break, 11, 12, 13, break. Right. And I was able to keep growing. Right. And then in that, from, I think the first year I was in business from March to December, I think we did a little over 200,000, starting at absolute zero. And just really focusing on growing the actual business. And a lot of it was cheap discount work. Like a lot of people get ripped on for doing cheap details. I was king cheap detail. Like I was, and I, like I said, like my mom taught me, don't put barriers between other people's money in your pocket.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mentioned it a lot, you know, I mean, like that stuff to me is what I consider filler work. You know, I mean, I like to do one big job a week, and then I like to have a couple of days where I can do filler work, where I can pick up the cheap, you know, interior detail or wash and wax or whatever, because you never know what that's going to lead you to. You know, I mean, that person, you might do a killer interior detail on and their friend sees it and their friend might need something bigger or better or whatever. So
did Bruno just fall asleep?
No,
I'm still here.
He's
just leaning back in my chair.
He's got real almost, small, his eyes closed. He's like,
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it is getting close to my bedtime. Yeah,
again, one of Bruno's podcasts. I'm still at work. And he's quiet over there.
Shut your mouth, man. Steven has the stage right now.
He does.
I'm listening to him and his story. I'm taking notes, motherfuckers.
Good. I'm glad you are.
And I always take notes at every podcast.
This is why I'm going to win Paint Correction of the Year again, so Alex doesn't get the belt.
Man, yeah. I'm not even entered in it yet, and the year's halfway or almost over. So
I can't believe
it's August already, guys. Like, you realize, it's winter, and then we have another spring, and then we have another winter, and then we have I think World War IV, and then I'm trying to plan this out based on so if we're in the roaring 20s, so right now is you remember when all the emo kids in high school having the studded belts and My Chemical Romance was huge? Yeah. That's where we're at right now, right?
Yeah.
And then it's after the roaring 20s comes the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Which is usually most millennials. and then we're in uncharted territories. So
we definitely are. I mean, you're talking about winter and fall. Jason, do you know what winter or fall is? I mean,
yeah, dude, I grew up in Boston for 25 years.
See, you do. I don't. Down here, it's just summer plus plus, and then summer plus 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 plus.
Yes, I think you have extra windy in September, right?
I think we have
a spring. We have a spring, barely. We have a summer, and then we have another spring, which is a more harsher spring, and then we have another summer.
Yeah, our seasons go forever dark, fake spring, snow in April, fake summer, real summer, fire, rain, dark, repeat. That's kind of our.
I guess you say we have hurricane season from June till end of September, early October.
Mm-hmm. Well, hurricane season is not that bad, but fuck.
Supposedly we're supposed to have a bad hurricane season this year, and we have yet to have one bad hurricane. So
I'm surprised. Washington hasn't caught on fire yet. This is I don't know.
Isn't the whole West Coast on fire right now.
Dude,
I think everywhere except for Las Vegas.
Smoke outside, over the weekend, it was a little smoky, but for the most part, it's hasn't been bad at all. The sun's been yellow, not orange. It's quite nice, actually. And it's been 85, 90 degrees, which is very hot for Washingtonians. It's very hot. When it was 120, I was how the fuck do you people do this? How is anybody you know what I want to do? I want to melt. I stood in the parking lot and my shoes stuck to the ground. I was like, this is bullshit.
See, we don't really get 120, but it's 90 plus, and then you got 90% humidity. It's just breathing through
which makes it feel like it's 120,
right? But it's how do you breathing deal with through a wet wash.
That's what I want to know. It's been
powder, baby powder.
Yeah.
Like there's not enough powder in the world for these thighs, dude.
Jesus. I buy baby powder from Costco's, bro.
Do you put deodorant on the inside of your legs and slather them up?
I wear boxers, man. I wear boxer briefs. And the Under Armour joints.
I have those too, but it's hot, bro. I don't know. Bro.
Trust me, I know.
My people are from the mountains of Sweden. All right. It is not anything we chocolate and boats and weird fish, but it is not hot in fucking Sweden. All right. I'm a Viking. We wear fur and we're hairy. This is 100 degrees in Washington. We might as well be on fire. Yeah. We did not sign up. We're depressed and we like the cold and ignoring people.
Yeah. See, like, I can imagine that's a huge culture shock, because down here it's just like, oh, whatever, it's Tuesday, right? Like, you guys are like, holy crap, did we get that much closer to the sun? Like, what's going on? Yeah. You guys don't ever experience it. So
I might have actually started believing in global warming there for a second. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Real.
I was like, Bill Gates forgot to turn off the sun again. Like, this bastard.
Dude, like, I've only been in Florida for 6 years and I'm still getting used to it. It's like, I don't think you can get used to it unless you're fucking from here. If you're from here, you're good.
No.
But if you move here from a different state, you will never get used to it.
No, I'm
you guys native. Have AC?
Yes. It runs at 70 all the time. Oh, listen, man, I'm native Floridian. Dude, and every year I'm like, this is it. This is my last year. I can't take it anymore.
just come to Washington in the middle of, like, just say January, and it'll be like, Florida's lovely this time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You ever go to work at 10 and it's still dark, and then you get off work at 4 and it's still dark? You're like, what is happening right now?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like there's a point that we have like 6 hours of daylight.
Yeah. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
But details look fire though.
if you see Steven Trapp post anything pain correction related in the month of January, it's all bullshit.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
we went over this last time, you know, brightness down, contrast up. Just, dude, it's like, bro, when it's overcast, like, dude, it's like nice little overcast, but still bright, so it looks like there's sun. Oh god, those details look good.
Yeah. I think Trap uses the same filter combination that the Kardashians use.
Yeah, they stole the idea from me.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to keep up with the Trapdashians.
the Washingtonians.
Yeah, you know that. They were like, oh, he's onto something here. He's like, who needs contour? You can just turn the contrast all the way down. Just turn, if you go from just regular brightness all the way to zero, and you're beautiful, right? No one can see you, but you're lovely. You're glowing. Yeah. It's wonderful.
All right, Bruno, you got anything else you want to chime in on? We're going over a little over an hour.
Has it been an hour already?
Yeah.
All right. So tell me. So how long you guys been in business for?
So let's see. I left the car wash on the end of 15, but my six years have been kind of split in two. I'm kind of like you, Trap. So, you know, I had the dealership that fed me very well. And then when I left them, it was starting all over again. So now we're about 4 years since leaving the dealership and getting to that point where we're starting to do something.
And, you know, it's just one detail at a time. Yeah. And so I can say the people who are struggling right now and they're like, what is happening? Or when you're starting to get slow and you're like, what is happening? Just focus and remember there's always another car to do. Yeah. So try, like, if bills are piling up, your wife's leaving you for the mailman, all signs point to close. Stay open, push through it, and know that when your wife leaves you for the mailman, there's somebody better on the other side of Tinder.
Right.
And if you can stay the course and you can really push through those downward turns and you can turn it around, it's going to feel more satisfying, because you can't just have constant growth to the moon. You have to have some failures in there. You have to be humbled. You have to come down a little bit, right? Because that's going to make that success that much better, and you're going to feel better about it, and you're going to want more of it.
And
so
we talked about this in the other one, Bruno, with Raymond and with Alan. You know, when you're starting out, sometimes, you know, step out of your comfort zone. You know, hit up the business parks, do washes and whatever in the business parks. If you have the capability to, you know, do a mobile thing, find that used car dealership, you know, that you can go to,
go to a business networking event. Right. You're going to be like, oh, it's going to be like crazy. Like nobody's going to go to a business networking event or your local chamber of commerce, because everybody there is doing the same fucking thing you're doing and just trying to find somebody to buy their shit. Yep. Right. So like, go there and somebody, and you'll sell something. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
100%. Just show up to places. Just show up to places and you'll start to get business.
Matter of fact, speaking of, this is good. I have a good story. I totally forgot about it. So today at the front of my shop, we had a big old diesel truck show up, get pulled over by two cops. So I'm like, okay, I need to see what's going on, because it's directly in front of the shop. So I go out and I'm just looking, and then like four more cops show up, a supervisor and two undercovers and all that shit. So I'm like, damn, something really happening. And they start looking underneath the truck. Like, I'm like, oh shit, they're searching for drugs. They're doing something crazy. Anyway, long story short, I talked to one of the cops. He's like, oh no, we'll get the car and everything out of your way, the truck out of your way. I'm like, dude, I don't care. It's raining out right now. We got an interior we're doing. I ain't worried about this. And so I gave him like a card. I was like, hey, you know, you want to bring you guys' cruises and everything by, we'll coat your windshields for free and all that stuff. You know, just try to get them in.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you know, I just bought a brand new truck and, you know, I would like to get a ceramic coat. I was like, yeah, bring it on by, man. So I just, interacting with something that happened in front of my shop like that landed me a job to coat a police officer's truck. So I'll coat his windshield for his cruiser, do his truck, spread the word to the department or whatever, and just hopefully it brings in some kind of workflow.
No, you're exactly right. And I mean, that's the one thing I think a lot of us, because myself included, I don't think about it a lot of times, is always keep business cards on you, because you never know when you might bump into somebody somewhere.
You know. I had the fire inspector come in today, and then I was just talking to him, and he's like, you guys coat motorcycles? I was like, absolutely. So we got away from the whole fire inspection, and it is right onto his motorcycle.
Right, there you go.
And then he's like, all right, guys, I'll see you later.
And then he was like, oh shit, I forgot. Oh, well, I don't want to look like an idiot. So yeah, pass.
He's like, you guys got fire extinguishers? I was like, yeah. He's like, what about a smoke or fire detection? I was like, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like our fire exit's completely blocked right now. And I was like, nice. He goes outside, he's like looking at this wall. He's like, is that a whole wall? And it's like this big billboard just blocking shit. And I was like, there's a door next to the door. He's like, you guys coat motorcycles? It's like, absolutely. Started talking to him about Harleys. He's like, oh, I bought a brand new Road King or whatever. I was like, nice.
There you go.
Well, let's go. See, all there's right. Another job right there.
Yep. All right, it's past my bedtime. Listen, I Trap, thanks for coming on again.
Absolutely.
Bruno, good topic. I mean, we'll see what the people say, but I liked it. I think it was don't do that, because I'm saying I think it was good, but
no, don't do that. That's but listen, naughty.
Man, you know, I never know with these, man. Some of these grow a mind of their own, and some of them I think are going to the moon and they fizzle out.
The problem is we didn't talk enough about ranch dressing. That's what gets people tuned in every single time.
We're just gonna name this episode Ranch Dressing.
Yeah, we'll just clickbait it. Just be like, Jason Bruno rubs ranch dressing on his head. And just I just hear my employees honking this Tesla horn, because it's just like the fucking club horn that they downloaded into it. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so if you hear like, that's my technicians right now honking a Tesla horn.
That's awesome.
And one of them staring at me right now. She's like, why aren't you working?
Yeah.
Like an hour and a half past close. And I'm like, I gotta be on a podcast now, I guess.
Yeah. All right, guys. Any final words?
Good night.
Night.
I'll be here for episode number 5 with me. And we'll have Alex on the Detailers podcast soon.
For episode 2.
Check out for episode 2 coming 2023. Springtime. That's it.
All right. And so Trap, this is something I've started doing, I think, since the last time
I have whole audience right next to me.
I don't give a shit. What's up, everybody? If you could one piece of advice, doesn't have to be detailing related, could be business, could be life in general, just something that maybe somebody's listening to.
Life advice from
advice
might help them. one piece of advice, not let's not go on a whole trap notebook.
Invest heavily in vintage Pokemon cards.
Okay.
That's
all right. There it is. Wait, no,
do the quote. Oh, okay. So here.
And the notebook open.
Inspirational wisdom from Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
So, well, let me grab my inspirational quote book here. It makes the most sense.
Okay.
So, whenever, here we go. So, just because the top shelf is high and you're Kevin Hart small, doesn't mean you can't get there without the Rock's assistance. So ask for help and be a team player. And you too could reach the heights of Kevin Hart on the Rock's shoulders.
That's it. Don't say anymore.
All right.
I'm ending the meeting. Have a good night.
Good night.
Take it easy.